Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning Take is brought to you by Compere Financial. Good morning, Blois. Yesterday, it seemed like it was a bonding tour extravaganza. Everyone was out and about focused on bonding.
Yeah, it was. The governor announced his $2.7 billion plan. Everybody kind of announced their support or their questions with it. I think that there's a couple things just to remind people is, you know, the bill has to start in the House of Representatives. So the House has to start the bonding bill. And so the House still hasn't introduced their bonding priorities. And then the Senate obviously has the final say. And when you have divided government with Democrats controlling the House and Republicans controlling the Senate, there's going to be some tension. The other piece here is, you know, where are the projects geographically? Republicans are buzzing that, you know, there's not a lot of projects that they see as priorities in greater Minnesota. And so we start to see this kind of urban-rural divide in that, you know, narrative continue to be there. So bonding may be the second or last thing that gets done in the session. So people can just take deep breath, take a few more sips of coffee, and see if their favorite project's in there. But there's still a chance that the House or the Senate could add a project and fight for it as well.
Okay. And we know all about that greater Minnesota urban divide, for sure. That comes up quite a bit in the legislature. So I'll be talking with Senator Amy Klobuchar later this hour. And she's been busy. So she, Ukraine was the focus. Mm-hmm. She and a group of senators went to the Ukraine to voice their support for democracy.
Yes. This is a little bit of a surprise trip. I kind of woke up and she was in the Ukraine doing a news conference. It was a bipartisan trip to the Ukraine. There's rising tensions with the Ukraine and Russia. And the U.S. Is obviously wants to show that democracy is important around the world. But, you know, the idea that, you know, six or eight senators flew over to reinforce that, I think, shows how escalated some of the tensions are right now globally. And we don't cover them a lot here on the Morning Take, but obviously they play in. And then you pivot to the tension in Washington around the filibuster and voting rights legislation. You know, I think the interesting thing is there's a lot in this voting rights bill. And if there was a way to compromise on it, what would it mean? One of the things that's in there is some public campaign finance laws for federal candidates. We don't have that for federal candidates right now. Is that something that they'd compromise on? And Senator Klobuchar has really been at the center of the voting rights legislation. So if there's a path and she wants to get a deal done, chances are she started to wonder if, you know, if there is something they could get done this year.
We'll be watching that for sure. Blois, I know you represent a lot of restaurants. What are your thoughts and what's kind of the mood out there on this first day of the vaccine mandates in Minneapolis and St. Paul?
You know, I think you're seeing every restaurant adapting and operationally seeing what they need to do. I think you're going to see a lot of dining rooms close and they're going to go to takeout only. That's one of the struggles that they've had between staffing and other things. Two, you mentioned it before, January is a tough month for restaurants. Not a lot of people go out. And so business for dine-in hasn't been as high as it is. I think OpenTable says reservations are down 36% to 38% from pre-pandemic levels in restaurants. So you have it there. So I think they're going to adapt operationally. And then I think it's going to be whatever their attitude and whatever they can do is how they enforce or how they ask for vaccine cards. And I think we'll see. I think there'll be some clumsiness the first few days when people forget or they don't know. I was reminding my daughter to take a picture of hers and carry it with her as she went out now. And I, you know, the other day when I was in Chicago, I kind of got caught off guard because I didn't know they had one, but luckily I had a photo on my phone. So we'll see. I think the data is starting to show that Omicron is fading here in Minnesota. I know that there's been a 40-day deadline on some of the mandates, and I think that's what people are going to now look forward to is how do we get out of this quickly, which, by the way, Vanita, should correspond hopefully with a little thawing out there, too, and our spirits always rise when there's a little thaw in the air.
Isn't that the truth? It's 6:24. It's coming up on 6:24. We're talking to Blois Olson, our political analyst. So, and when you talk about the clumsiness of what it might be like, I'm just wondering, you know, I made reservations for tonight. Do we expect we just kind of walk in and have it ready to go and show it right to the person getting us to our seat? That has to happen first before we can even sit down. Is that sort of the expectation?
Yes, I would look at it as like when you check in with a host or a hostess that they would say, can I see your proof of vaccine? And then they'll grab the menus and seat you. That's the way it worked for me the one time it's happened, and it was pretty slick. Other than, you know, as long as we've raised awareness and people are aware that this is something they need, it's fine. I think if you had a reservation and you don't know, which are probably not people listening to the show right now, you know, they may get frustrated that they have to go home or that they're going to miss their dinner reservations. And I think their, you know, restaurants may say, you know what, just please bring it next time, and they might take their chances out of the gate just because there aren't a lot of, you know, there is a gap in reservations right now or availability. But I think if you're in the pizza business or the, you know, takeout Chinese food business, you're probably going to go to the takeout model for a while just because it's easier and it's not going to stress your staff that's already overstressed.
Sure. What can we look for today? As far as what's going on.
You know, I think we're going to keep an eye on Washington, and we're going to keep an eye on what Republicans kind of say or counter on bonding. Republicans are back on another bonding tour today from the Senate. That's led by Tom Bach, and he's the independent. You know, he used to be a Democrat. Now he caucuses with Republicans. And I think they're going to push back harder on bonding today. And I think you're going to see maybe, you know, some more pointing on what wasn't in the governor's bill that Republicans would want to see. You know, this negotiation through the media is always a popular topic this time of year.
Thank you so much. Good to talk to you, Blois.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Business news sponsored by R.W. Baird.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.